Chapter 7. Over the newspaper, and then got away to the back part of the room. And are you and your mother always going to stay down there in the mill house watching the little fishes, Miss Anne? ... she said, that it was uncertain, in a tone of truthful precision which the question was hardly worth, looking forcedly at him as she spoke. But she blushed fitfully, in her arms and hands as much as in her face. Not that she was overpowered by the great boots, formidable spurs, and other fierce appliances of his person, as he imagined, simply as he had not been prepared to meet him there. I hope he will, I am sure, for my own good, ... said he, letting his eyes linger on the round of her cheek. Anne became a little more dignified, and her look showed reserve. But the yeoman, on perceiving this, went on talking to her in so civil a way that he irresistibly amused her, though she tried to conceal all feeling. At a brighter remark of his than usual, her mouth moved, her upper lip playing uncertainly over her white teeth. It would stay still, no, it would withdraw a little way in a smile, then it would flutter down again, and so it wavered like a butterfly in a tender desire to be pleased and smiling, and yet to be also sedate and composed, to show him that she did not want compliments, and yet that she was not so cold as to wish to repress any genuine feeling he might be anxious to utter. Shall you want any more reading, Mr. Derriman? ... said she, interrupting the younger man in his remarks. If not, I'll go homeward. ... don't let me hinder you longer, ... said Festus. I'm off in a minute or two, when your man has cleaned my boots. ... ye don't hinder us, nephew. She must have the paper. 'Tis the day for her to have in. She might read a little more, as I have had, so little profit out o' en hitherto. Well, why don't he speak? Will he, or won't he, my dear? ... not to two, ... she said. Ho, ho. Damn it, I must go then, I suppose, ... said Festus, laughing, and unable to get a further glance from her, he left the room and clanked into the backyard, where he saw a man. Holding up his hand, he cried, Anthony Cripplestraw. ... Cripplestraw came up in a trot, moved a lock of his hair and replaced it, and said, Yes, Maester Derriman. ... He was old Mr. Derriman's odd hand in the yard and garden, and like his employer had no great pretensions to manly beauty, owing to a limpness of backbone and speciality of mouth, which opened on one side only, giving him a triangular smile. Well, Cripplestraw, how is it today? ... said Festus, with socially superior heartiness. Middlin'. Considering, Maester Derriman. And how's yourself? ... Fairish. Well, now, see and clean these military boots of mine. I'll cock my foot up on this bench. This pixie of my uncle's is not fit for a soldier to come into. ... Yes, Maester Derriman, I will. No, 'tis not fit, Maester Derriman. ... What stock has uncle lost this year? Cripplestraw? ... Well, let's see, sir. I can call to mind that we've lost 3 chickens, a tom pigeon, and a weakly sucking pig, one of a fair of 10. I can't think of no more, Maester Derriman. ... Not a large quantity of cattle. The old rascal. ... No, 'tis not a large quantity. Old, what did you say, sir? ... Oh, nothing. He's within there. ... Festus flung his forehead in the direction of a right line towards the inner apartment. He's a regular snitch one. ... he, fie, Maester Derriman. ... said Cripplestraw, shaking his head in delighted censure. Gentle folks shouldn't talk so. And an officer, Mr. Derriman. 'Tis the duty of all cavalry gentlemen to bear in mind that their blood is a known thing in the country, and not to speak a lot. Apostrophe apostrophe, he's close-fisted. Apostrophe apostrophe, well, maester, he is I own he is a little. Tis the nature of some old venerable gentleman to be so. We'll hope he'll treat thee well in the air fortune, sir. Apostrophe apostrophe, hope he will. Do people talk about me here, cripplestraw? Apostrophe asked the yeoman, as the other continued busy with his boots. Well, yes, sir, they do off and on, you know. They says you be as fine a piece of cavalry flesh and bones as was ever growed on fallow ground. In short, all owns that you be a fine fellow, sir. I wish I wasn't no more afraid of the French than you be. But being in the locals, Maester Dairyman, I assure ye I dream of having to defend my country every night, and I don't like the dream at all. Apostrophe apostrophe, you should take it careless, cripplestraw, as I do, and 'twould soon come natural to you, not to mind it at all. Well, a fine fellow is not everything, you know. Oh no. There's as good as I in the army, and even better. Apostrophe apostrophe, and they say that, when you fall this summer, you'll die like a man. Apostrophe apostrophe, when I fall? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, sure, Maester Dairyman. Poor soul Odie. I shan't forget ye as you lie mouldering in the air soldier's grave. Apostrophe apostrophe, hey? Apostrophe apostrophe, said the warrior uneasily. What makes them think I am going to fall? Apostrophe apostrophe, well, sir, by all accounts the yeomanry will be put in front. Apostrophe apostrophe, front. That's what my uncle has been saying. Apostrophe, yes, and by all accounts 'tis true. And naturally they'll be mowed down like grass, and you among 'em, poor young gallant officer. Apostrophe apostrophe, look here, cripplestraw. This is a reglar foolish report. How can yeomanry be put in front? Nobody's put in front. We yeomanry have nothing to do with Bonaparte's landing. We shall be away in a safe place, guarding the possessions and jewels. Now, can you see, cripplestraw, any way at all that the yeomanry can be put in front? Do you think they really can? Apostrophe apostrophe, well, maester, I am afraid I do, apostrophe said the cheering cripplestraw. And I know a great warrior like you is only too glad o' the chance. 'Twill be a great thing for ye, death and glory. In short, I hope from my heart you will be, and I say so very often to folk in fact, I pray at night for it. Apostrophe apostrophe, oh, cuss you. You needn't pray about it. Apostrophe, no, Maester Dairyman, I won't. Apostrophe apostrophe, of course my sword will do its duty. That's enough. And now be off with ye. Apostrophe apostrophe, Festus gloomily returned to his uncle's room, and found that Anne was just leaving. He was inclined to follow her at once, but as she gave him no opportunity for doing this, he went to the window, and remained tapping his fingers against the shutter, while she crossed the yard. Well, Neffy, you are not gone yet? Apostrophe apostrophe, said the farmer, looking dubiously at Festus from under one eyelid. You see how I am. Not by any means better, you see, so I can't entertain ye as well as I would. Apostrophe apostrophe, you can't, nunc, you can't. I don't think you are worse if I do, dash my wig. But you'll have plenty of opportunities to make me welcome when you are better. If you are not so brisk inwardly as you was, why not try change of air? This is a dull, damp hole. Apostrophe, 'tis, Festus, and I am thinking of moving. Apostrophe apostrophe, ah, where to? Apostrophe apostrophe, said Festus, with surprise and interest. Up into the garret in the north corner. There is no fireplace in the room, but I shan't want that, poor soul o' me. Apostrophe apostrophe, 'tis not moving far. Apostrophe apostrophe, 'tis not. But I have not a soul belonging to me within 10 mile, and you know very well that I couldn't afford to go to lodgings that I had to pay for. Apostrophe apostrophe, I know it, Uncle Benji. Well, don't be disturbed. I'll come and manage for you as soon as ever this phony alarm is over. But when a man's country calls, he must obey, if he is a man. Apostrophe, apostrophe, a splendid spirit. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Uncle Benji, with much admiration on the surface of his countenance. I never had it. How could it have got into the boy? Apostrophe, apostrophe, from my mother's side, perhaps. Apostrophe, apostrophe, perhaps so. Well, take care of yourself, Neffy, apostrophe, said the farmer, waving his hand impressively. Take care. In these warlike times your spirit may carry ye into the arms of the enemy, and you are the last of the family. You should think of this, and not let your bravery carry ye away. Apostrophe, apostrophe, don't be disturbed, uncle, I'll control myself, apostrophe, said Festus, betrayed into self-complacency against his will. At least I'll do what I can, but nature will out sometimes. Well, I'm off. Apostrophe, he began humming Brighton Camp, apostrophe, and, promising to come again soon, retired with assurance, each yard of his retreat adding private joyousness to his uncle's form. When the bulky young man had disappeared through the porter's lodge, Uncle Benji showed preternatural activity for one in his invalid state, jumping up quickly without his stick, at the same time opening and shutting his mouth quite silently like a thirsty frog, which was his way of expressing mirth. He ran upstairs as quick as an old squirrel, and went to a dormer window which commanded a view of the grounds beyond the gate, and the footpath that stretched across them to the village. Yes, yes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said in a suppressed scream, dancing up and down, he's after her. She've hit in. Apostrophe, apostrophe, for there appeared upon the path the figure of Anne Garland, and, hastening on at some little distance behind her, the swaggering shape of Festus. She became conscious of his approach, and moved more quickly. He moved more quickly still, and overtook her. She turned as if in answer to a call from him, and he walked on beside her, till they were out of sight. The old man then played upon an imaginary fiddle for about half a minute, and, suddenly discontinuing these signs of pleasure, went downstairs again. Via! How they talked in the pastures, you often come this way. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Festus to Anne Rather, before he had overtaken her. I come for the newspaper and other things, apostrophe, she said, perplexed by a doubt whether he were there by accident or design. They moved on in silence, Festus beating the grass with his switch in a masterful way. Did you speak, Mrs. Anne? Apostrophe, he asked. No, apostrophe, said Anne. 10,000 pardons. I thought you did. Now don't let me drive you out of the path. I can walk among the high grass, and guilty cups they will not yellow my stockings as they will yours. Well, what do you think of a lot of soldiers coming to the neighborhood in this way? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I think it is very lively, and a great change, apostrophe, she said with demure seriousness. Perhaps you don't like us warriors as a body? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Anne smiled without replying. Why, you are laughing. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the yeoman, looking searchingly at her, and blushing like a little fire. What do you see to laugh at? Apostrophe, did I laugh? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Anne, a little scared at his sudden mortification. Why, yes, you know you did, you young sneer, apostrophe, he said like a cross baby. You are laughing at me, that's who you are laughing at. I should like to know what you would do without such as me, if the French were to drop in upon me any night? Apostrophe, apostrophe, would you help to beat them off? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said she. Can you ask such a question? What are we for? But you don't think anything of soldiers. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh yes, she liked soldiers, she said, especially when they came home from the wars, covered with glory. Though when she thought what doings had won them that glory, she did not like them quite so well. The gallant and appeased yeoman said he supposed her to mean chopping off heads, blowing out brains, and that kind of business, and thought it quite right that a tender-hearted thing like her should feel a little horrified. But as for him, he should not mind such another Blenheim this summer as the army had fought 100 years ago, or whenever it was dash his wig, if he should mind it at all. Hello. Now you are laughing again. Yes, I saw you. Apostrophe and the chilleric Festus turned his blue eyes and flushed face upon her, as though he would read her through. Anne strove valiantly to look calmly back, but her eyes could not face his, and they fell. You did laugh. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he repeated. It was only a tiny little one, apostrophe, she murmured. Ah, I knew you did. Apostrophe, apostrophe, thundered he. Now what was it you laughed at? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I only thought that you were merely in the imaginary, apostrophe, she murmured slyly. And what of that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, and the imaginary only seem farmers that have lost their senses. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, yes. I knew you meant some jeering o' that sort, Mistress Anne. But I suppose 'tis the way of women, and I take no notice. I'll confess that some of us are no great things. But I know how to draw a sword, don't I? Say I don't, just to provoke me. Apostrophe, I am sure you do, apostrophe, said Anne sweetly. If a Frenchman came up to you, Mr. Derryman, would you take him on the hip, or on the thigh? Apostrophe, apostrophe, now you are flattering. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said, his white teeth uncovering themselves in a smile. Well, of course I should draw my sword. No, I mean my sword would be already drawn, and I should put spurs to my horse charger, as we call it in the army, and I should ride up to him and say no, I shouldn't say anything. Of course men never waste words in battle. I should take him with the third guard, low point, and then coming back to the second guard apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.